Hi, everyone, and welcome to Focus Forward, an executive function podcast where we explore the challenges and celebrate the wins you'll experience as you change your life through working on improving your executive function skills. I'm your host, Hannah Choi. Before we dive into today's episode, I wanted to share some super exciting news. Beyond Booksmart CEO Michael Dellman and two of our clients were highlighted on Good Morning America last week in two segments addressing the new gender gap we are seeing in education. Our boys are struggling, and Michael shared some ideas on how we can support them through EF. You can find the link to the clip in the show notes. We executive function coaches here at Beyond Booksmart coach people working on strengthening their EF skills, but we often talk about how we're also helping them build confidence in themselves. Learning to be confident in yourself and believing that you can get through hard stuff is the key to trying new things and reaching your goals and truly making a lasting difference in your executive functioning. We work really hard to build this confidence in our clients, just as my guest today does with his college students. James Sanders III is a professor of public speaking and interpersonal communication at Fayetteville Technical Community College in North Carolina. He joined me to share his experience of seeing confidence grow in the students he teaches. I'll let him tell you more about the work he does. It's awesome. This man is making positive change happen wherever he goes. We talked about the importance of community, of trusting yourself, and saying yes to the scary things that are actually stepping stones towards reaching your goals. In addition to being interesting to talk to and an inspiring ray of sunshine, James shared a lot of useful resources and links with me, including his recent commencement address. So be sure to check out the show notes when you're done listening. Okay, on to the show. Hey, James. Thanks for coming on Focus Forward.
Thank you so much, Hannah. I appreciate you. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm really good. I was just thinking before I came on about how we're going to talk about confidence and public speaking. And I was thinking about how every single time I do an interview, I get nervous. I get nervous before. And so I realized I wasn't actually nervous at all to talk to you today. And I was mostly excited because it's such a cool topic. And you are basically famous now because you got to give the commencement address at your college.
I did. And it was, you know, it was a lot of fun. I think that it's when opportunities, you know, when you create opportunities for yourself, you're really taking the initiative to want to, you know, branch out and expand. And my mantra is to expand always in all ways. And I was afforded the chance to be able to give the commencement address at not at one, but two.
Congratulations.
It was. And then I was pooped after that. You know what I mean? Like, but it was a blast. And, I'm really excited to be here today with you, of course. Yeah.
So will you share with our listeners, who you are and what you do for your work and what you are really passionate about?
Yeah. So I'm a instructor of communications at Fayetteville Technical Community College in good old Fayetteville, North Carolina. And I have been teaching now for two decades, 20 years.
Wow.
Yes. So aside from teaching, my passions include motivational speaking, so I'm a motivational speaker. And I primarily speak on topics pertaining to interpersonal communication, relational maintenance, conflict resolution, and other topics as well. But also being given the chance to be a radio host, I also host a radio show on WIDU. It's called The Crossover. And it's a show of three educated men of faith and family. And we talk about real life topics from a faith-based perspective. So it's been a real, real treat to be able to connect with my mentor, Dr. Sunny Kelly, and then Brandon Price, who's also the co-host of the show. So radio show host, motivational speaker, mentor, and educator.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
How did you find yourself drawn to all that?
So for me, I'm a teacher's son, and my parents are former educators, and being able to teach, what it did was it allowed me to kind of take a step back and understand that there's tremendous responsibility with being an educator. And then, second, educators wear many hats. And so I realized that there's more that I want to do than just be in the classroom. As much as I love teaching, and I love teaching dearly, it has really done a lot for my life. It's afforded me opportunities to be able to expand in different ways. And so the mentoring piece really kind of works hand in hand with teaching. And there are some students that I can see that they have potential, even though they may not even see it themselves, Hannah. And I wanted to, extend myself in that capacity. And I've been doing that now for a number of years. But then the radio show host, the opportunity came for me talking to my mentor, Dr. Kelly, and he afforded me a chance to do a guest spot on his radio show, and the rest is history. We did a year in March, and it has been a
Congratulations.
blast.
Oh,
Thank
that's
you so
great.
much.
I
Thank
love
you.
that. I love that. I can relate to that experience, and it's so wonderful to see this thing that you work so hard at and get to that really aligns with all your interests and your talents. See it turn into something that is actually really useful for people
No doubt.
and then you get to meet really cool people like you.
Yes. So I'm very fortunate because obviously, we've had a chance now to be able to connect, and that's because of other people in our respective networks. And connecting is really the name of the game.
So I am dying to know what it's like to be the commencement speaker of two schools. And I'm just curious to know, what skills that you have learned over your life did you apply to that experience? It's because that's a big
So,
deal. It's not like you're just gonna talk to a handful of people in a room.
it was the largest crowd that I've spoken to so far, and what my teaching has done, it really helped me get ready to be able to do this because I wanted to be able to get into speaking and having opportunities to be able to do different types of speaking. And I spoke to my president of my college and I told him I wanted to be able to get into this. And he said, "What do you think about, doing it for us?" And I said, "Okay." And he said, "I don't need an answer right now, but I want you to really think about it. And I'm going to need you to be able to speak twice, if that's possible." And I said, "Okay." So I gave it some thought, and then I went back to him, and we agreed, and we were able to do it. And let me tell you, I really took time to really be able to kind of look back at what my journey was to be able to get here, and being able to then connect with the students. I came up with two themes. For the first group, I talked about paying it forward and making sure that, we're reminded, yes, you're here to get an education, but then you're also able to do so much more as well. And then the second message was about embracing your legacy. Yes. And our students at the community college level have to start thinking about legacy. Thinking about how do they want to be able to pass this on to future generations. It's necessary for them to be able to start thinking that way because these students are eventually going to become a lot of movers and shakers, thought leaders. And I just wanted to be able to impart some wisdom on them, but also fire them up at the same time. And it was so much fun.
I love that. That's so
Thank
great.
you.
And were you nervous?
Of course.
Were you also excited?
I was nervous and excited at the same time. And there's always a bit of nervous energy in the very beginning, and then you start to settle in, and you're reminded of the responsibility that you have, to be able to be in this position, and you don't take it lightly. Anybody else could have been selected to be able to be the commencement speaker for this year, but I was tasked with that responsibility. And let me tell you, Hannah, I wanted to show up and show out, and that's exactly what I did.
I bet you
So
did. Oh,
thank you.
congratulations. That's
Thank
so
you.
great. Yeah, love that.
But the confidence is key. The confidence is key for you to be able to do that. And if you are able to feel at home in front of that podium or in front of that group of people, I looked at them as if they were my family, and I could just, be myself and just allow my personality to be able to come out and just really connect with them. We did some call and response.
Oh,
I got them
yeah.
out of their seats as
Yeah,
well,
right on.
and it really turned out well.
Oh, that's so great. And that's
Thank
going to
you.
keep their attention too if you involve them with it. So, yeah.
Yes, you and I both have been to a number of graduations, and we know what it's like to be able to kind of just sit
Yes.
through a few that are just,
Yes.
they're painful. They're painful
My
for
own college graduation was that, and I was like, what is this guy doing up there? I have nothing in common with this person. Why is he
Right.
there? He's there literally in name only.
Yes.
I was just like, when
Yes.
is this going to be over?
So I definitely needed to be able to connect with students. So I use terminology that they speak, and it made them feel like we were connected
I
for
love
about
that.
12 to 13 minutes.
Nice. That's so great. I love it. So, as a teacher of communications and as a motivational speaker, how do you view confidence and how do you view the story of confidence in people's lives and how it plays
It's a
into
great
everything?
question. It would be more of a mindset. It really starts within you. Confidence obviously is something that is developed, right? We develop certain things over a period of time. And there are those individuals who we see as just being extremely confident, borderline cocky. And then there are people who just have a subtle confidence about them. And confidence is something that really takes time. There are individuals who you can see them walk into a room, they just own it. And that really takes a lot of time for people to be able to develop. But I would say that confidence really starts with the individual. The individual is the person who is truly responsible for how they want to be seen, how they want to be perceived. And it really allows you to be able to kind of take a look at yourself and say, I want to be the most, ideal version of me, authentic version of me. And it really takes a lot of time for that to be able to happen. I did not have the confidence that I have today, when I first started teaching 20 years ago. Okay, I'd be lying to you, but right now, I'm at a really good place with my confidence because I believe in me. And it's really important for people to be able to believe in themselves when they think about confidence, because sometimes, people can walk into a room and they are immediately intimidated. And it really does take it. Confidence is really a work in progress. I will say that it truly is
Absolutely.
a work in progress.
And how much do you think it starts from you, and there's also the positive or negative, I guess, impact of the people around you and the people that you grow up with, where you grow up, what culture you grow up in, what part of the world you grow up in. So how much in your experience, how have you seen What have you seen of the impact of that on people's confidence?
Sure. Within seeing different individuals who I've come across over the years, I've seen some individuals who really are just struggling in the confidence department and just need to be given a pep talk or just a reminder or maybe even a refresher to be able to see, that they're capable, that it's possible, that it's doable. Whereas sometimes you just also have to remind individuals, hey, I know you got it, but you just want to continue to be humble as well too, when you walk into a room and when you're connecting with people. The last thing that an audience or individuals want to be able to pick up on is energy that doesn't necessarily reflect you. And that's super important for people to be reminded of, because you want to be able to be your true, authentic self. You really do. But it does require you to be able to have a village, a group of individuals who pours support, continuous support, into you. And you hope to be able to give that back to them in return as well too. It's a reciprocal effort.
There's a book called The Four Agreements, and
Yes.
yes, so it reminds me
Yes.
of those and how the power of our words and the power of our message has
Yes.
with people. You have to be authentic and true, and at the same time recognize, like you said before, the responsibility that you have of that power of being able to
Yes.
communicate with people. You need to recognize that there is power in that, and you do influence people, whether it's
You
positively or
do.
negatively. Yeah,
Yeah.
to find that balance is a lot, takes a lot of work.
It does. It does. And my students are looking, it's all eyes on me. And who am I to be able to come across one way, but then I'm something different? Like, my students need to see consistency. Audiences need to see consistency. Followers on social media need to see consistency as well too. And that takes a lot of work, because of course you want to be able to just be true to yourself as you are sharing information, as you're connecting with people, and that you're building relationships, the same, throughout as well too.
It reminds me of the conversation that I had with Nicole Pulliam, who is the person that connected us.
Super
And
dope.
yeah, oh, she's amazing. And just thinking about the finding that confidence within yourself, especially if when you are in an environment where you don't, you inside don't feel like you are welcome, or the message you are receiving from that community is that you are not welcome there. And how much we do have to draw on our own confidence to still speak up when we are battling one of those two things. And it just, so how do you support your students to find that within themselves?
Of
How do you
course.
tell them? I mean, that's a
Yeah,
hard thing to do.
it is, but I definitely want them to be able to understand from the first class when we meet that this is a judgment-free zone for starters.
Yeah.
So, when it comes down to it, nothing that you say, you're going to be judged on. With it being a judgment-free zone, Hannah, what it does is that it opens the door to inclusivity, and it allows my students to be able to recognize that your voice matters because you matter. And when you have an opinion, say it with your chest. Say it with your chest, right?
Yes.
So, right? But then also too, be cognizant of what the other person is also trying to be able to get across as well. And it opens, it opens the door for very interesting, sometimes candid dialogue as well, especially in both classes, right? So public speaking, when students give feedback, right? I'm not just giving feedback, my students are also giving feedback. And they take it upon themselves to be able to point things out. but they do it in a very mindful yet sensitive way. Whereas my students in my interpersonal communication classes, we can really have a really good dialogue that's taking place on the concept that we're discussing, and they can really dive in head first and really share some things, and it can be amazing. But I definitely make it a point to be able to make it a judgment-free zone, create the safe space that's needed so that there's a sense of belonging and togetherness in the classroom, and then remind them the importance of that. Their voice matters as much as they matter as well too.
I love that. That's the first thing I tell my coaching clients when I meet with a student or an adult for the first time. I say, you know, I need you to know that this is a judgment-free zone. It's the only, if you don't establish that in the beginning, then you're not going to be able to trust yourself or the person you're working with. And then you're not going to be able to, like you said, like really get deep and really figure out, like, why do I matter? What about me really matters, and what do I value, and what's important to me, and what do I need to do to make sure other people know that? And so I see that in so many of my clients, they don't have confidence in themselves.
And so
much of what we work on is figuring out that, yeah, you do matter, and the way that you do things does matter. So I love that can be taught in so many different contexts. It can be taught in a communications class or in a executive function coaching session.
Absolutely. The trust is so key. And I'm glad that you brought that up, because your followers, your community needs to understand that trust is so important in coaching, in teaching, but also in life as well too.
Yeah.
And when we, when we open ourselves up and we let people in, it gives us a chance to be able to receive things so much better, just to be able to embrace each other and connect. And really, the power of connecting and connection allows us to be able to do that. I can only imagine when your clients really do have those breakthroughs and they're really building, they can see the building take place. It's just like the light bulbs that I get in the classroom with my students when they have those aha moments. It is something that we just eat it up,
yeah,
okay? We just eat it up. So I'm right there with you.
Yeah, brings us back every day, chasing that. Yeah.
Yes, for sure. So, we're lifelong learners, Hannah, and it really gives us a chance to be able to just, empower one another and build up people and allow them to be able to recognize that they're more than capable when, there's support and there's love really being poured into them.
So it's nice to think about that as that, right? Like, is this love and support? But we know the truth of it is that many, many people in the world are walking around without that, or they've had cumulative experiences over their life, especially people of color, especially people in. So what has your experience been like, and how has that informed your experience supporting other students who have had similar experiences? Is you cannot ignore people's stories, as someone who is outside of that person, but also as that person. You can't ignore your own story and where you've come from.
When it pertains to me, I've been very fortunate in that sense that I've always had a really good village. I've had a great village of individuals who have been extremely supportive, have shown me tough love, and in the process, have been able to guide me as I go throughout life. And I understand that everyone whom I encounter in teaching or in other aspects of my passions don't. And I say that to say this, when I meet students and they come from different backgrounds, once again, I just walk in with an open mind and an open heart. And it's really important to be able to do that, because I want my students to be able to recognize that I'm here for you, number one. I know that we may come from two different walks of life, number two, but for these next 3 months, It's we. It's not me. Okay. It's never been about me, but it's we. And I want to genuinely know you better. I want to connect with you and meet my students where they are. I wish more educators did, and it would make the learning process that much more sweeter when I tell you that it is such a gratifying feeling when I have met my students where they are. And then we have those breakthroughs, those points of transformation that take place. And then when it's time for them to be able to leave, it's bittersweet, but I know that the seeds have been planted and they've come to harvest. And it's the same thing, you know, that I want my audiences and people who I connect with as well too, to be reminded of how important trusting in yourself, you know, has to happen, right? I know that some people have been told, you'll never amount to anything, or, you know, you're not going to be, you know, you're not going to be anything, or you can't, or you won't. But I always want them to be able to recognize that they need to be able to see that trust in themselves, that they need to be able to recognize that, yes, you have it in you. It just may take a little work and maybe some, you know, and maybe some practice, but it's there. And when it does come to the surface, it is a wonderful thing to be able to see when a person, you know, really starts to be able to believe in oneself.
Do you have a story of a particular student that you can share with me?
Of course. I had a student 7 years ago. The student was very rough around the edges. And she actually walked out of a speech that she was supposed to give. She walked out. She came to the podium, Hannah, and the student walked out in terms of giving a speech. And so I went outside, kind of gave her some space. And I said, can we talk? And she said, yes. And I got emotional with her as well too, but I said to her, I want you to understand something. Every day we have an opportunity to be able to get better. I don't expect perfection on your first speech or your second speech, let alone your third speech. But what I do want to see is you and me working at this thing together. We're building something here. And she asked me, why would I be so patient with her? And I said, because it's in me to be able to recognize your potential. And potential sometimes takes time. So I needed her to be able to understand that, yes, we can meet after class, or we can set up times that would be more ideal to be able to work around your schedule, because she had a son at the time. And she had some things, okay? You know, sometimes life happens, as you know. And we had to be able to work around her schedule. But when she came back, because I didn't allow her to be able to do her speech that day, she came back and then she gave her speech another day. But we had met a couple of times. It was much better. And she thanked me in front of the class. You know, once she was able to get the speech done, because she saw that I was investing in my students. And that meant a world of difference for her, you know.
So you believed in her and you told her straight out that you did.
Yes,
and
I did.
You showed her. You showed her and you told her.
So it was really important. Yes.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah. That's really great. And I wonder, have you heard from her since then? Do you know what
I have? Yes, I have. Every so often. Yeah, every so often. But
that's great.
You know, there are over, you know, a period of time now, since I've been in higher ed since 09, I've had experiences like that. And it really makes what I do that much more sweeter, in terms of the impact and the enhancement that really takes place by the time students walk in the, you know, in the very beginning, when they could be downright petrified, they could be petrified, to walking out and knowing that it's possible for them to be able to take this on, and then to also recognize how they can take this on in their lives as well too. It's a It's a really powerful thing.
I love it. I remember when I was young, I was extremely shy. I was like just so shy, which is so funny because I can't relate to that part of me anymore at all. Every once in a while, I'll be shy and I'm like, wait, what? This feels familiar, but it also feels really distant. But I remember when I was in seventh grade, I think, seventh or eighth grade, we had to give a public, like a speech in front of the cl entire class. I went to a very small public school, so it wasn't that many people, but still, I had to do it. And I was so shy. And I chose to write about veal calves. I was a vegetarian at the time, so I wrote about veal calves. And don't eat veal, people. Or at least don't, if you do eat veal, don't learn about how they treat veal calves. But so I had to give that speech, and I really, really, really thought I was gonna die because there wasn't really any other option. It was either somehow I was gonna give a speech or I was gonna die. But I just couldn't imagine myself giving a speech because I could hardly talk to people. And I did it, and afterwards I realized I kind of liked it. And now I remember at my sister's wedding, my other sister and I, we were going to give our this bridesmaid speech, and my cousin said to me, "Aren't you so nervous to go up there?" I said, "Are you kidding me? I love this kind of stuff." And it's so I guess my message is to anybody out there who thinks I could never speak in front of people, you just might end up loving it.
Yes, for sure, for
But like you
sure.
said,
I can't.
you have to like welcome these opportunities into your life. You have to take those major risks, or what feel like risks. They feel like risks, but they're
Because
actually opportunities.
you don't want to be regretful and thinking, I know I could have done this, but now I'm kicking myself, right? Because I didn't do it. Like you, right? You jumped at the chance. Like you were ready. You were ready. And a lot of that, once again, just you have to look at you and say, why not me? I'm really big on this right now. Why not me? And why not now?
Ooh, I love it.
Yes. And people need to be able to recognize that, yeah, you can. It's possible. Yeah. Why not me? I know how to do this. I can make this happen. Yeah, you doggone right you can. So yeah, let's go. Like let's do this thing and make it what it needs to be. Seize that moment, folks. And really just try to capture that moment, capture it, and just you can remember that for a very long time.
Well, do you have any like, for anyone who's listening who supports people who may be struggling with confidence, struggling with that trusting themselves, do you have any advice for people who support people like that?
Yeah, definitely. You can always, YouTube is such a real big thing. And there are a lot of videos that are there for people to be able to see that. There are a number of resources that are available to people on places like YouTube. You could easily go into Barnes and Nobles. There are a number of self-help books as well that you can be able to look at in terms of confidence, and a couple of TED Talks as well too that are also really, really cool that people can really tap into. So that would be my suggestion for individuals for sure.
I'll get those from you and I'll stick them in the show notes. Thank you so much for joining me today, and thank you so much for all the work that you do. I'm sure there are just so many students out there, people out there that are so grateful that you came across or they came across your path. So
Yes, I'm just really thankful that the Lord has given me this opportunity to be able to utilize my gifts and give them to the world and do what's needed to be able to help our future generations take that next step because we need them. We need them so much, Hannah. And it's in us to be able to do because they're up next.
They are. They are. And we have to have confidence in them and trust them. And we have to help them find the confidence and trust in themselves to do it. Yeah.
We do, for sure. For sure.
And that's our show for today. Thank you for taking time out of your day to listen. My takeaways from this conversation are that it is helpful to create a judgment-free space for the people you support, whether they are friends, family, students, or your kids. We also have to meet people where they are in life. And, you know, we got to do these things for ourselves too, right? Try not to judge yourself and have compassion for yourself by accepting that where you are right now is just as important as where you want to go. The practice of public speaking, whether it's in class or on a stage or on a podcast, is a fantastic exercise in building trust in yourself and learning to trust the community around you. I encourage you all to try it out. Check out the show notes for all of the resources that James shared with you, and including you can find how to find opportunities to build your public speaking muscles, which apparently I probably should practice. As always, if you have questions or topic suggestions, you can reach out to me at podcast@beyondbooksmart.com. It helps us out a ton if you can rate us on Apple or Spotify, and even better, please leave us a written review on Apple so more people can find us. You can follow and even set up auto downloads of Focus Forward on your preferred podcast platform, and sign up for our subscriber email at beyondbooksmart.com/podcast. Our producer and editor is Sean Potts, and our content marketer is Justice Abbott. Many, many thanks to James Sanders III for joining me for this wonderful conversation. Thanks for listening.